It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it's good to have you here hanging out with us at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Here's the deal. We're about to solve the mystery for you right now. Here's the mystery. Yesterday, we talked about it late in the show. There was a picture posted at Chipotle, allegedly, in Cleveland. Well, Mike, there's another picture that has surfaced with Kirk Cousins at a place called City Barbecue in Cleveland, in a spot right outside of Cleveland in Avon.
And, man, when I think great barbecue, I think Cleveland.
Well, here's the thing. You're saying to us, Dukes and Bell, he's got family there.
No, he doesn't.
He knows some people up there. He might, but that's not why he's there. These are two pictures now that have been posted, and I'm looking at Kirk's face, and it's definitely Kirk Cousins.
That's him.
Here's the other thing I know, because I'm on one of their radio stations up there. Cleveland Radio is talking about why Cousins has been in town the last couple of days. So, Mike, what's the mystery? The mystery is that they're allowing him to talk to the Browns to see if this is somewhere he wants to go. He knows Kevin Stefanski. They have a relationship. This totally makes sense as to why these pictures are now popping up. He's showing us, hey, this isn't him on vacation, guys.
But why does he have to put it on social media? This goes back to Kirk Cousins just being a tool. Look, I don't know what was promised. Was there an ironclad promise when Kirk Cousins signed last March, we are not drafting a quarterback? Because his reaction on draft night when we picked Michael Penix Jr. Now, look, I like Penix Jr. We're all getting behind him, and he's our guy. But, I mean, if there were some sort of assurances, and the reason he didn't stick in Minnesota was they were eventually going to bring in the heir apparent, I don't want to be playing devil's advocate for Kirk Cousins because he's turned this thing into a real jerk fest. You know, by starting off by lying back in the fall. I'm healthy. You're on the injury report. Clerical error. No, I'm fine. Then when the entire country, let alone the Falcons locker room, Carl, can see he can barely get the football out of his hands against the Raiders.
Yes.
Only then does Coach Rob bench him, and by that point it's too late. You go back to the Super Bowl week. He does this big media tour, talking to everybody and their uncle. No. I was really hurt. I was banged up. That's not the real Kirk Cousins. In an effort to certainly, you know, could have forced the hand of someone to come trade for him. Then he demands a trade, a meeting with Arthur Blank to demand a trade where I can start. And then just do this. And if the Falcons have given your camp the right to negotiate, just do it. Why are you shoving it in people's faces? To your point.
That's the part where we're all feeling some kind of way. But this new photo, are we going to have a new photo every day now popping up? This new photo at City Barbecue outside of Cleveland is the latest. And we said yesterday, oh, we don't know if it's here. We don't know if he's there. He's there.
By the way, can you get Lake Erie catfish at City Barbecue?
He's there. I'm fine with this. Because this tells me that he is exploring.
Wheels are moving.
That's right. He's exploring the opportunities of where he could land, whatever the Cleveland's telling him or whoever he's meeting with. And my guess is Stefanski and the ownership group and Andrew Berry and all those folks there, the general manager, are meeting and saying, hey, here's our situation. Now, if you're saying why Cleveland, again, remember, Deshaun Watson re-injured his Achilles. He's not going to be available for this season. He was rehabbing, hurt the Achilles again. Mike, they're in need of a quarterback. So does Cleveland trade to get Cousins after the draft?
Well, if they do it after the draft, okay, we're looking at a 2026 pick. Either way, guys, we're going to mitigate some of the cap hit, but that doesn't really help us because the free agent market, what's left of it, is not robust.
No.
There's not many guys who can come in and help us. Yeah, there's some depth for offensive line, a couple of pieces you could add. There are still some free agents that are available. Who's it? The former Georgia center who played for the Patriots.
Oh,
David Andrews. But it seems like they're ready to rock with New Zealand. He'll get a nice bump, and that'll be our center moving forward. But, yeah, I think every Falcon fan out there wants us to make this trade now or on draft weekend so we get something for Kirk Cousins for 2025.
Yes.
Because Kirk Cousins, don't forget, when I did the chronology of Kirk Cousins' screw-ups, I forgot to mention costing us a fifth-round pick when he spoke with our team before you could do it in the illegal tampering, stupid period anyway for the NFL, but by contacting us and the NFL having a mean on for it, we lost a fifth round pick because of Kirk Cousins. So give me at least a fifth or a fourth for this guy.
We got to get something.
Do you have a pain threshold for the pick or you don't care at this
point? No, I don't care. I just feel like you got to get something in return, and you know the way you do that is you allow him to dictate the terms. Guys, he's dictating this anyway. The Falcons could do whatever they want and come back to Kirk and say, we got a great deal for you. We want to send you to Cardinals. I'm not going to Arizona.
Be a backup.
He can veto any of this. So for him to feel good about wherever these deals might take place is beneficial to us. One of our followers on Twitter, and you can follow Mike Bell, ATL. I might put him up. See Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Says, fellas, man, I don't know if why y'all keep talking about Kurt. What's the deal? Until this thing is finalized, and to Mike's point, we realize what we get or what we don't get.
Right.
And how this affects our football team, it's a story. I hate to break bad news to you. It remains a frontline story for our franchise because of this mess that we're in.
And do you think, and this is something, again, last week when you were in Vegas with your boys, we had Ovi Mihaly on. We asked Brian McFadden about it. Both guys said they would personally have a problem with Kirk Cousins for the way he handled his business.
Of course.
But he said, but it's the NFL in 2025. Some guys are 21, 22. Some guys just don't care.
They don't care.
As long as, like, if it involves a man getting his money, hey, they're not going to get between him. It's like when a guy holds out. Only the media thinks the team. No, nobody. If you hold out for money, nobody on your team is dogging you out.
Well, guys want to get paid.
They understand it's a short limit, a very limited window to make as much money as you can. But Ovi said, and I asked him, I said, do you think there's some guys who just don't give a crap? And I said, Manny being Manny. Remember the Red Sox back in the day?
Yes.
So you think some guys are just, oh, that's just Kirk being Kirk. Kirk loves the camera. Kirk loves the microphone. He loves to talk, and that's just Kirk. Can we actually get on with the season with Kirk Cousins here as a backup for Michael Penix Jr.? Do you really feel that Ra and Terry are prepared to roll that out? I mean, I'd love to go get a guy like Trey Lance as a backup for nothing because he's out there.
Correct.
And once we get rid of Kirk Cousins, let's go. It's the Michael Penix show with nobody over his shoulder.
That part of it, and one of our guys here said, who's the backup? Come on. We'll figure it out. Let's be honest.
Right. There's a bunch of guys at Bird Baseball has we can find.
Yes, we're only saying that because we feel like all of a sudden it's important. It's not. We never go through an offseason and go, man, look, I don't care who we get, but we got to get a backup. We never have that conversation, and we're not going to have it now. We got a starter. That's the main thing. You hope he doesn't get hurt. But if he does, they'll figure out the backup situation. I mean, honestly, like, I get that whole thing, but we've never gone through an offseason where that is our main priority. You know what our priority is, Mike? Edge rush, corner, improving our linebackers.
Right.
Like getting a better defensive line. That's our priority. It is not who's going to be the backup to Michael Penix Jr.
Right. So now we just wait and see. The good news is Falcons haven't said anything. Nobody's got it. I haven't seen anything from D-Led. We spoke with Mark Raimondi. Perhaps, though, by Kirk being in Cleveland, conversations are ongoing. That's a good sign for us. Anything that can get us a draft.
Well, we do know this. He's eating well.
Yes. I mean,
all these pitches at restaurants.
No, he is. He's a guy. He likes that. You know, he's the kind of guy that will go into a place like Chipotle or Olive Garden because he probably loves the unlimited salad bar and breadsticks. But you know, he likes Kohl's. He likes a good, you know, middle American value. Maybe Cleveland is the place.
Oh, man.
I liked the guy until I didn't like the guy, you know?
Well, listen, this is what happens. It's funny. Mr. Yo, avid listener, says, hindsight is 2020. We should have traded for Justin Fields. You think?
I asked the general manager after the draft. I said, why didn't you just go get Fields, and then he could have backed up Penix, or he could have had a 1 year as a gap.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, you saw what Fields signed for, right? I go, yeah. He goes, well, how's that working out for him?
Yeah.
That's the
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The general manager, you go back and listen to him.
This is buyer's remorse. And Mr. Yo, I get it. This is why we have these discussions. It was working until it wasn't. Now it doesn't feel as good. And now you're going, man, I wish we would have never done this. That's all this is.
No, I just wish we drafted Penix. Just do the guy you wanted. Have the faith and the confidence in him and do it. You had it. Nobody was coming ahead of you to get him. He's your boy.
That's not true.
Nobody was coming up for him.
That's not true.
Well,
you sound like me.
Who? Yeah, we're not on video now. Raiders were scared off by the medicals.
That's not true.
The Broncos.
One guy came on our show and talked about the Raiders being scared off. Who else told you this?
I went back and looked at articles that said the Vegas Raiders are scared by the medicals.
Yes, they were. But that's not the reason why.
Had he been there, they would have took him. But nope, they weren't going to move up for him.
Thank you, Oren.
They weren't moving up for him.
This idea that nobody else was interested is silly.
Teams were interested, but nobody was. Now, again, if you are positioned at 8, you feel you got to move up to 6. We all knew the Chargers had their quarterback. We all know the Giants were not. The Giants at that time, guys, that's why I tried to explain this, not to you, but to some other guys. Daniel Jones was still the bona fide starter for the Giants.
He was.
Will Levis was still the starter for the Titans.
They were paying $40 million.
Correct.
We didn't have a quarterback in place, so it gave us more leverage to say, hey, what do we want to do?
Right.
But here's the thing.
What people forget is if we were in the mix for a quarterback, if we never talked to Kirk Cousins, we would have been in the mix for Bo Nix, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and teams that were interested with them, there would have been leverage. Maybe someone comes to us, we still get the guy we want. Some guys might have been interested in Penix, they might not. That's my point. All I'm saying is the Raiders would have
You're
taken Penix if he was there.
We leverage this the way we
Correct.
Could have.
Correct.
Not that other teams weren't
Correct.
Interested in Penix.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
That's all, and I apologize for not nuance, but that's I always feel that like guys always felt like it was one of the no, we were only guys, we were eight, and there's only like three teams. We were never going to be able to get obviously the two best quarterbacks who went
in the top of the draft,
and I understand that.
Yes,
you know
yeah.
because you know Jayden Daniels was always going to go second, and Caleb Williams was always going to go first, but after that it was wide open.
404-726-0929. We are talking about Kirk Cousins being seen in and around the Cleveland area, and look, if you're a Falcons fan, it's good. We should be happy. The fact is, obviously, he's exploring opportunities or at least talking to some people about a chance to maybe be a Brown. The problem is the Browns have to trade for him. And Mike's been saying this. We're probably going to have to eat most of the salary.
So what do you think?
If this happens.
What do you think? So out of the 27.5, we pay 20, 15?
At least.
Well, I just
remember,
don't see the Browns
it's been budgeted.
Right.
right?
Yes.
It's already on the books. So.
Wait, stop video. I just did a hand gesture. Don't, Slim, you can't put that out there.
Wait, why is he videoing?
Well, he's videoing. I did the, you know. Yeah, it's budgeted.
But it's already, you know, right? That's what they told us. It's already on the books.
Right. But, you know, again, there's nobody who's like top. It's almost like, you know, level D and E now as far as free agency. So it's not like you're going to go, you know, other than some depth, you know,
yeah,
some bodies.
But, Mike, we're going to have to pay. We're probably
if you had some room to move.
If this all goes down. But, guys, here's the mystery.
So, basically, you're going to buy for $15 or $20 million a third-round pick. If we could get a third-round pick.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, that'd be something.
I'm fine with that. But here's the mystery. Why is he there? You and I both know, like, again, this isn't a ski trip, okay? He's not up there for the start of spring and the blooming tulips. Why is he there? And why is he continuing to post pictures randomly, Mike, at places where he's just out to eat and it's, oh, you're Kirk Cousins, and let me take a picture. Where are you at? Cleveland. Why? It only makes sense.
You know
one
what?
Reason.
He's a media hula, Carl.
Coming up, we got our strong arm story of the day. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley about the Braves. Hopefully they can get right tonight. Need Ronaldo Lopez to have a good outing.
No more Hector.
But when we come back, one of the big stories that dropped today, we're going to talk about it. We'll also get into the Sweet 16, guys. We got the regionals right here in our backyard at State Farm Arena. Stay right there.
The strong arm story of the day.
Got some hoops in our backyard. It's the regional Sweet 16, guys. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, who you like tonight, by the way? Ole Miss? You like Michigan? Ooh. Auburn? Who you like tonight?
I'm going to go with Michigan and Ole Miss. By the way, Henley, speaking of Ole Miss, his parents are Ole Miss. You guys
Henley!
Might remember.
What's going on?
It was two seasons ago. Henley was, I think, in first grade, and we had him come on the radio, and we had him ask. And we said, what do you think about the Falcons this year? They're going to stink. Or are you going to make the playoffs? He goes, no.
Yeah.
And the whole bar went bananas. By the way.
He was right, by the way.
Can we give credit real quick to his parents? Henley has made it through the third grade on a travel team without Tommy John surgery.
Oh, that's great.
Which
that
is impressive.
Is great.
Which is very impressive.
Yeah.
So that's very good.
They right do there. Have the kid in the backyard throwing 120 pitches a day,
yes,
though.
Yes, I was going to say.
Yes, yes. It's good to see you, Henley. Glad you guys came out here. His parents are big Ole Miss fans, obviously.
Right. I like the size of Michigan.
Listen, I'm a Chris right. Bird fan.
Right. Right,
Beard,
right.
Beard fan, should I say, yeah. the coach of Ole Miss. And I think he's a really good coach. He's speaking of overachieving, Mike, I mean, everybody talked about all these other teams in the SEC. They're going to give Michigan State all they can handle tonight, man. I mean, that's going to be an interesting game.
Right.
But if Izzo wins, and if Michigan wins, Mike, that's a rematch of just a few weeks ago.
Right.
But obviously, if Ole Miss and Auburn wins, they've seen each other, too, in the SEC.
I mean, it's just so cool to have where it just means more.
Yeah.
Just but to have the Big Ten and the SEC going, the two biggest conferences in basically everything, going toe-to-toe here in Atlanta, should be a great vibe. Plus, I know once we get down to the Alamo Dome and everything else, I do love the fact, though, to see it in a setting like State Farm. Perfect.
I agree, man. What happened last night, though, was kind of interesting. Alabama just – they set a record for threes, guys. They have one of the best point guards in Sears, and they shoot the ball well. They scored 113 points against BYU. They win. We saw Florida blow doors on a very good Maryland team. But, Mike, we talked about it earlier, and it's just one of those things where you go, this has been John Calipari. You know, he's had great teams. Guys, go look at all the players he's put in the NBA while he was at Kentucky. All right.
Right.
You'll be amazed at, like, he only won one championship.
Yes.
All of these guys came through. Last night, again, nobody was picking Arkansas to win it, But you
had a 16-point lead.
That's it. Just 16-point lead.
Come on.
And you blew it. And so this is why we always talk about Cal in the way that we do when we say, hey, he recruits like crazy. He's got good teams. But you get in these big moments, is he able to excel? Can we hear Orrin, what he had to say about this season? And, again, this was his first season at Arkansas. He left Kentucky, said they needed a new voice. Mark Pope is the new coach at Kentucky. They play Tennessee. That's going to be a great matchup. But this is John Calipari talking about losing last night to Texas Tech.
But I'm going to say it again for everybody. For me, this was as rewarding a year, and I feel like crap right now. But this was as rewarding a year as I've had in all my years. Now, I've had teams that were better and finished better and national champions and all that stuff. This was a different reward.
Okay. Now, we do know that free throws are part of the game, my brother.
They are.
And unfortunately, and we've talked about this, I mean, DJ Wagner just throwing bricks in the moment. We've seen March Madness is about, handling your pressure and being clutch. And we've seen guys, I remember Steak always says one of the best, I think it was like way, this is like back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And it was like a Siena. Guy to make three, he got fouled on a three-point shot. Made three free throws to beat a big that kind of pressure. This guy couldn't handle it. We talked earlier about Wagner, but that's not the only thing. I said this to Carl, and it was funny. The announcers are saying it. So when you hear the announcers saying it, you kind of figure that, they maybe should get this to Calipari's assistance. Who was the guy that made the big shots? Was it Williams?
Williams.
For Texas Tech?
It was.
Every time he'd be at the top of the key, and they'd switch. Keep the best defender on him. It was like, my God, man.
Because that's what they wanted.
And it was just, you were giving Texas Tech what they wanted. He was getting great looks.
So you felt like he didn't make the adjustments.
I think you and I sat in Indianapolis when Wisconsin beat a Kentucky team that put, 12 guys in the NBA?
They were undefeated.
Right?
That was the team that should have ran the table.
I think eight guys went to the NBA off that team in the first year or the next year. And we're like, he just got outcoached.
Yeah.
So I think that Rick Pitino got outcoached by Calipari, or just simply they couldn't match the size. But ironically, Calipari, to blow a 16-point lead, when all you have to do is make basic adjustments he couldn't make.
I agree. Duke, by the way, they look really good, man. And we were talking about Cooper Flagg earlier. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, NCAA tournament tonight. By the way, Twin Peaks will have the games on for you. We're at the Kennesaw location. But, Mike, Cooper Flagg, 30 points last night. He made it look easy.
And you and I were joking around. And it was funny because we're like, we're talking with Commissioner Gordon. Gordon was engineering earlier. Slim's in control today here at Twin Peaks. We were talking about what's a comp for Cooper Flagg. And so don't fall into the trap of going, let's find a white player of equal or lesser value. No, unless you want to say he's a more athletic, bigger Luka, because he can handle the ball.
Yes.
And Luka obviously runs like a slug, but he's great around the basket. I said it's almost like he's a shorter Kevin Garnett. I think you like that comp, right?
Yeah.
You and a couple others?
No, I do. I think, his athleticism, man, is putting him in a different spot. He's a big that can shoot, a stretch four in the league. He's going to guard big guys. I think he's 6'9 or whatever.
Right.
I just like the fact that he can finish around the basket any hand, Mike. He can post you up, which we don't see a lot of guys being able to do these days. He can face you up. I mean, and I told this story earlier. When our guys were getting ready for Paris in the Olympics, he went out to Vegas, man, and this kid showed up. He was 17.
That documentary, by the way,
and he's crushed.
Great.
He's crushing everybody. And you got LeBron and Curry looking at each other like, who's this Cooper Flagg dude? He is going to be the consensus number one pick in the draft if, in fact, he comes out. And a buddy of mine said, well, what's Duke paying him? $10 million? Is he coming out? I said, well, if they win the chip, there's no reason not to. But I'm impressed with his game. He is as advertised. And to your point about the comps, man, there's a lot of guys that you could look at.
Right.
And immediately, let's be honest, we're watching that Celtics documentary and people want to go, he's Larry Bird. Slow down. Slow down.
But he's a guy that can put the ball on the floor.
Yes.
And he's athletic. You saw it now. He's completely back from that ankle injury from the ACC tournament. Guy looks great. So, yeah, I mean, don't get stuck into – matter of fact, don't compare a Puka Nacua. Who are you going to compare? Hines Ward? I mean, there's certain guys that are just kind of their own guy. But I would say, yes, a slightly shorter Garnett, because Garnett could do it all out of high school. And this guy's got the polish and he's got the juice. So I can't wait to see now if he goes to – I don't know where the ping pong ball goes, but wherever the ping pong ball lands for this guy – that's a game changer.
It is.
That is the ultimate. Now your franchise is moving. This is Shaq and Penny in Orlando. What if he goes to Carolina with Ball? That's a hell of a package.
If he goes to Charlotte? It is. Because Ball, listen, Ball's a really good player. Again, he's not a perennial all-star, even though he gets all the votes and all that stuff. But if you put Cooper Flagg there, Mike, now he's got a running mate. And You know, listen, I hate to tell you this. If Cooper Flagg was in Atlanta, he would improve our team immensely. We have a guy like that in Jalen Johnson, but this kid is good, man. He really
Please
is.
Please let it not be Utah.
Well, that's
because
true.
Because right now, as far as the ping-pong balls, the Wizards and Utah should have the best odds. Utah is 16-58. Wizards, I say Bullets, are 16-57.
Danny Ainge running the Jazz out there, right?
Right.
I believe Danny Ainge is out there. Listen.
The Pelicans are 20-53. I'm just giving you the worst teams in the league.
Well, the Pelicans,
Charlotte, 18-54.
The Pelicans are trying to move Zion. Somebody, remember we were talking about this a few weeks ago. Would you guys take Zion? I would not.
Yeah, does he come with a money-back guarantee? No.
No, I would
you
not.
Know? At least Amazon, you can send it back.
Well, I know people are like, man, y'all are not watching, Zion this year. No, I'm watching him. I just don't like the history. I know he's still young, but I asked this question. Like,
I'd have rather had Brandon Ingram, and he had his own injuries.
Me too.
Issues.
But the deal with Zion is, you know, why has he not lived up to it? I mean, Mike, the injuries are one thing, but even when he's on the floor, has Zion had those wow moments where you're just like, man, I got to see Zion tonight?
Right.
We haven't had that. When he left Duke, we felt that way. But now he's been in the league. And guys, this isn't year one.
Right.
Zion's been in the league as long as damn near Trey has.
By the way, please not let the 76ers get the lottery ball to get Cooper Flagg.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
Because, you know, if you believe in the frozen envelope, the 1985, you know, the Commissioner Stern's fishing around at the cauldron, and he finds the envelope that's the Knicks envelope, and the story was, why is he digging in there like he's digging for gold?
Because it was cold.
Because he's trying to find the envelope, which is going to make Patrick Ewing go to the Knicks. I mean, needless to say, no one can keep a secret in 2025. But, yeah, I mean, if anything, it'd be San Antonio, but they've already got a point guard.
Guy just hit me up. Zion's averaging 24-7. He should be averaging 30-10. As big as he is.
Right.
Come on, man.
Imagine if he winds up in San Antonio.
Zion?
No, Cooper Flagg.
Oh, that's a whole nother element, dude. Then they're back in the business.
Is Popovich going to live to be 100? He better have to try.
They get Wimby back, and you add Cooper Flagg, and that's a whole nother element.
They got their point guard. Yeah, man.
All right, man, coming up, we're going to talk with Grant McCauley. We're going to get his latest on the Braves. Is he concerned about the bullpen? Should we be after one game? Braves back in action tonight against the Padres. It's Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We've been talking about the offense carrying the Braves. Once everybody gets healthy, and we're talking about Acuña back in the lineup, this thing is going to be rolling. And I felt good yesterday about seeing Ozzie go deep and Riley as well. I want to start there, Grant McCauley, who joins us here on the show, covers the Braves for us in Major League Baseball for 92.9 The Game. Grant, when they went deep, I was like, Ozzie, thank you. Riley, it felt good because we know the struggles he went through last year and his attempt to get back, and then with his hitting coach, that was a positive. I mean, there are a lot of things that we can look at in this game yesterday as we get ready for tonight's matchup, but how did you feel about seeing those guys go yard?
You know, it felt like there should have been more, but not in the same kind of frustrating way that it was a year ago. But the Padres made a couple of really nice plays. In particular, Ozzie Albies nearly had a second home run. That got dragged in, and that short porch or that short wall out in left field. And then Drake Baldwin nearly left the yard in center. And a great play by Jackson Merrill dragged in at least an extra base hit, if not a homer. So you kind of felt like the way they were working at bats and the way they were swinging, this offense looked a lot more like what we expect to see. But ultimately, you needed more than the four runs. The Padres did some good run prevention. The Braves ran into some trouble in that regard, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But overall, you know, you just want to see this group start to get comfortable, get its legs under it, so to speak. And then you anticipate, and it's still a ways away, getting Ronald Acuña Jr. back in and seeing what this offense can truly be this year if they can get everybody together on the same page at the same time for more than the six innings they had together a year ago.
Yeah, Grant, we'll get to the bullpen in a second. One of the things we've been talking about a lot today is I looked it up, and the Padres were 14th in stolen bases last year with Schilt. So not like they're like one of the best. They're about average, but they really got after it. How concerned should Braves fans feel that teams are really going to challenge Drake Baldwin?
It's not even as much for me on Drake Baldwin in a lot of cases. It's going to be how well did the pitchers do a good job of mixing things up and holding runners on. And, yes, there are limitations on how many throws over you can make, but when I look at the stolen bases, particularly the double steals and the things that they did to really just press their luck, a lot of it just had to do with that kind of jump. I don't care what kind of cannon you've got behind the plate. You're not throwing those guys out. So that is as much a part of it to me yesterday as it, anything was. I need to see a little bit more from Drake Baldwin. I think he's a pretty good catch-and-throw guy, so we'll kind of see as things go along if he's able to, you know, mitigate the running game somewhat. We know Sean Murphy is certainly known for that, so we'll see what factor he is on it. But, yeah, I think that some teams can identify pitchers that don't love throwing over. I think Chris Sale's kind of one of those guys. And then really push their luck if they need to make something happen. And that's not really what the Braves are known for, and maybe the Padres aren't really known for that. But there's something to be said for situational awareness and taking advantage of where you can, and I think the Padres did a really nice job of that.
Grant, I thought Chris was good yesterday. I'm talking about Chris Sale. Could he have gone longer? Did you feel like the pitch count was up there? I thought he was throwing the ball well yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think I would have necessarily looked to push another inning out of him, and I think where he lost that kind of opportunity, if you will, to do it was the 29-pitch first inning. I mean, he had to work hard early on. Then he got in a groove. I think where we get to, and I'm sure we'll get to the bullpen, but Dylan Lee comes in right after and has a very nice clean inning, and then it started to kind of turn into we're going to use this guy and this guy and this guy. And I don't think all of the roles outside of Raisel Iglesias have really been decided upon. But I can tell you this, they're going to have to figure that out quickly, one would hope, so that they're able to know exactly where they're going to go and really, you know, think ahead as much as you can, because you don't have the same options that you had a year ago that you really felt strongly about. So some of that might have been a factor in the overall decision-making, knowing that, hey, we can get six good innings out of this because we've got Chris Sale and we've got Dylan Lee, and then we'll piece it together from there. But, you know, they're going to have to go back to the drawing board on a seemingly nightly basis, which most clubs do, to figure out the best way to navigate over the course of a game, a series, a month, a season. It's all kind of out there to be figured out, and the Braves not quite there yet with the bullpen mix.
It's our man Grant McCauley, guys, best baseball man in town here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right. I think I literally asked you that question yesterday. I think I had our starter Chris Sale going to the sixth inning, but it was through the sixth, and it was Dylan Lee, you predicted, would probably be the guy. But then we didn't really mention Hector Neris, who we remember as a relief pitcher who had his struggles with Philadelphia. He's been in the show for a while. So just a bad day at the ballpark between him and Bummer?
Yeah, it was. And, I mean, with Aaron Bummer, I think you go with him because you were hoping with Luis Arraez, a contact hitter that hits the ball on the ground a lot, maybe you get a double play. And then, of course, you throw a wild pitch. The double play is not there anymore, and that doesn't work out. And a couple of sacrifice flies were really all it took to you just put the ball in play. And with the stolen bases, as you pointed out, the Padres were doing a lot of little things, and that added up to four runs in that frame. But for Hector Neris, I mean, I look at him as the seventh or eighth guy on the relief depth chart, if you will. I mean, Jose Suarez was late to the party. Certainly, you don't look at his numbers and think, all right, well, this is the guy we're going to go to for a lot of high leverage outs or big situations. So I was a bit surprised that it was Hector Neris there and not maybe Deisbel Hernandez, or, I mean, I think Pierce Johnson's probably going to get a lot of eighth inning work, or Dylan Lee could get some eighth inning work if Pierce Johnson works earlier on. But you've got to figure it out with no Joe Jimenez and no A.J. Minter. And I think Deisbel Hernandez, Dylan Lee, Pierce Johnson, those are guys you should feel pretty comfortable with. The rest of it is going to be mixing and matching. Aaron Bummer certainly has a role in the bullpen. But yeah, I think you could really look at Deisbel Hernandez and point to a bad day at the ballpark. You give up a home run on not even an awful pitch, but, you know, if it's cap tipping time or not, it's still a home run that tied the game. And then it was just constant contact and four batters, four men reach, and four men score. And that's about as bad as an inning can get for a Braves debut for Hector Neris.
Grant McCauley, what do you expect out of Ronaldo Lopez tonight?
Hopefully a little bit more of what we saw last year. I know in the spring, a lot of it's just focused on getting your work in, and there was a lot of talk about, well, his velocity's not quite there. But one thing Ronaldo showed us throughout the year last year was, hey, I can work at 93, 94, and then when I need it, I can reach back for that 96-plus and put somebody away. And I think he's going to continue to do that. He talked about it in the spring as being one of the things he realized about his arsenal that was the most helpful for him was, I know I've got it when I need it. I don't have to show it off every single pitch. You can do that in the bullpen, and as a young pitcher, you might be tempted to do that on, you know, the better part of just about every fastball you throw. But I think kind of cycling through those velocities can be good for him. Pound the strike zone, which is something he does extremely well, and just be aggressive. And this is a Padres team that is a good team, but I don't think they're necessarily a great team. And Ronaldo Lopez has the stuff to, I think, carve up any major league lineup.
What was up? We were talking a lot earlier about that the play at first when, for whatever reason, Matt Olson comes home. We kind of likened it to like that grenade toss from Marcus Mariota a couple of years ago. Was that just like a mental fart right there from him? He was not charged with an error.
No, I thought it was a heads-up play because you just took a shot to see, get the out at first, and then if you can get the guy coming home, you try it. And that was just a try that ultimately, it's going to have to be perfect, and I don't think it was going to be in time to get him. But it's just, doing what you can, where you can, and sometimes it works and sometimes it it doesn't play out. But in that particular play, I didn't think a lot of that other than just trying to get an out if possible, just in case the guy trips on his own feet on the way home, have the ball there waiting for him, if nothing else.
All right, Grant, what else jumped out at you yesterday? Opening day for a lot of teams around Major League. We're waiting for the home opener for the Braves, obviously, next week. But, you know, there's so many storylines right now that to start the season. Is there one that you're watching outside of our team, obviously, as you cover Major League Baseball?
No, I think there's obviously a lot to watch. I mean, it can be sensory overload in this first week or so.
and
clearly, we're going to keep an eye on the division. The Phillies winning their opening day, you know, that's obviously a big part of what we're going to be watching all season long is the Braves and the Phillies and the Mets. Those are three teams that, you know, you're not going to scoreboard watch in April, May, or June so much. But once it starts to kind of add up, you're always going to be keeping an eye on those clubs. And the Phillies, I think they look familiar. They look formidable. And we'll see what they're able to do over the course of their season. But, yeah, I am intrigued to see what the Mets do because clearly they spent a lot of money on Juan Soto. They brought Pete Alonso back. They've got Francisco Lindor. They've got a couple of young hitters that could also factor for them. But I feel like their lineup's kind of top-heavy. I think they've got serious pitching questions. And, you know, last year they dug themselves a hole. If they do it again this year, are they going to be able to pull out of that and get back into the postseason? Because nobody really expected them to be there last year, and they got there.
Right.
So clubs like that, usually I feel like, come into that next year a little bit of motivation to build on that, and we'll see if the Mets can.
Remember when you were a kid, you'd look at the newspaper, we're a game down to the Phillies, damn it. You know, it always, it's an overreaction. One thing for certain, the Dodgers just kind of picked up where they left off. Shohei Ohtani goes yard, and that was an electric atmosphere with a gold-trimmed uniform as world champs.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously that's a club that, you know, has no shortage of storylines and stars to watch. And as Ohtani goes through his year, you know, they're eyeing when he's going to return to the mound, and he's going to continue to play throughout that process. And you know, we can talk about this guy for the rest of time and really not be able to explain how he does what he does. But this whole process that he's gone through of a major elbow surgery, playing through that, putting up an offensive season the likes of which we've never seen before, and working his way back towards the mound, I mean, that's something I'm going to have my eye on over the course of the season as well to see when exactly Ohtani's going to be on the mound for the Dodgers for the very first time.
When are you on, Grant?
I will be on Sunday morning from 9 to 11, 2 hours of Braves and baseball talk. I've got C.J. Nikowski of the Braves TV team joining me. I've also got Scott Braun of Foul Territory. We're going to talk about everything going on for the Braves and the rest of Major League Baseball over the first weekend of the season and so much more. So join me right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 9 to 11 on Sunday. Wherever you get your podcast, you can subscribe and find it on the Odyssey app.
Awesome. We will talk about what this series looks like come Monday, and we'll have you back on the show, obviously, guys. Here on Dukes and Bell. Have a great weekend, Grant. We'll talk soon.
Look forward to it. Same to you guys.
All right, guys. Want to give you a chance to go see Ghost. Their world tour is coming Friday, July 11th, State Farm Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We want to give them the caller number 8 right now at 404-726-0929. We've been giving you a chance for tickets all week long. We're giving you one more chance to go see Ghost and their world tour July 11th at State Farm Arena. 404-726-0929, caller number 8. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, guys, you'll hear from Brian McFadden, Mike. The argument about Shador Sanders got a lot of guys going earlier in the show today, didn't it?
Right. Is it about Deion? Deion said, hey, I'm not going to do what John Elway's dad did or Eli Manning's dad did. I'm not going to try to pull some shenanigans to get into a team which I think is the best place he can be successful. But, yeah, man, we'll get into it because there's this thing with Shador Sanders. And where does it come from? Because when Carl throws the stats at you, I begin to wonder, you know, is it simply that guys maybe feel he's only there because of the name as opposed to the name causing him to fall? I don't know. We'll get into the debate.
All right, that's on the way, as well as we'll get you caught up on the latest headlines of the day. By the way, one of those headlines is John Harbaugh's not going anywhere. Find out what the Ravens just did. And also, we'll fill you in on the latest pitcher with Kirk Cousins. If you're just joining the show, stay right there.